The Autobiography of George Mueller, Chapter 4, Early Days in Bristol, 1832 to 1835. May 25th, 1832. This evening, we arrived in Bristol. May 27th. This morning, we received a sovereign sent to us by a sister residing in Devonshire, which we take as an earnest that the Lord will provide for us here also. May 28th. When we were going to speak to the brethren who managed the temporal affairs of the Gideon Chapel about giving up the pew rents, having all the seats free, and receiving the freewill offerings through a box, a matter which was not quite settled on their part, as Brother Craig and I had thought, we found that the Lord had so graciously ordered this matter for us that there was not the least objection on the part of these brethren. June 5th. Today we had a testimony of a sinner, having been converted through Brother Craig's instrumentality on the First Lord's Day in April, simply through hearing the text read. June 25th. Today, it was finally settled to take the Sevis Chapel for a 12-month on condition that a brother at once pay the rent, with the understanding that, if the Lord shall bless our labors in that place, so that believers are gathered together in fellowship, he expects them to help him, but if not, that he will pay all. This was the only way in which we could take the chapel, for we could not think it to be of God to have had this chapel, though there should have been every prospect of usefulness if it had made us in any way debtors. We had tried to obtain a cheaper meeting place, but could find none large enough to accommodate the hearers. Beginning in Bethesda's Chapel, Cholera, in Bristol. June 6th. Today we commence preaching in Bethesda's Chapel. It was a good day. July 13th. Today we heard of the first class of cases of cholera in Bristol. July 16th. This evening from 6 to 9 o'clock we had appointed for conversing at the vestry, one by one, with individuals who wished to speak to us about the souls. There were so many that we were engaged from 6 to 20 minutes past 10. August 5th, when our money was gone today, the Lord again graciously supplied our wants. August 6th, this afternoon, from 2 till after 6, Brother Craig and I spent in the vestry to see the inquirers. We have had again, in seeing several instances of blessing upon our labors, abundant reason brought before us to praise the Lord for having sent us to Bristol. August 13th, this evening, one brother and four sisters united with Brother Craig and me in church fellowship at Bethesda, without any rules, desiring only to act as the Lord shall be pleased to give us light through his word. August 14th, this day we set apart for prayer concerning the cholera and had three meetings. August 17th, this morning from 6 to 8, we had a prayer meeting at Gideon on account of the cholera. Between 200 and 300 people were present. We continued through these meetings every morning as long as the cholera raged in Bristol, and afterwards changed them into prayer meetings for the church at large, so that we had them for about 4 months. August 24th, this morning a sister in the Lord within 50 yards of our lodging was taken ill with cholera and died this afternoon. Her husband, also a believer, has been attacked and may be near death. The ravages of this disease are becoming daily more and more fearful. We have reason to believe that great numbers die daily in this city. Who may be the next, God alone knows. I have never realized so much the nearness of death. Except the Lord keep us this night, we shall be no more in the land of the living tomorrow. Just now, 10 in the evening, the funeral bell is ringing, and has been ringing the greater part of this evening. It rings almost all the day. Into thine hands, O Lord, I commend myself. Here is thy poor, worthless child. If this night I should be taken by cholera, my only hope and trust is in the blood of Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all my many sins. I have been thoroughly washed in it, and the righteousness of God covers me. As yet there have not been any of the saints among whom Brother Craig and I labor, taken ill. Only one of them fell asleep afterwards in consequence of this disease. I would observe that, though Brother Craig and I visited many cholera cases by day and by night, yet the Lord most graciously preserved us and our families from it. September 17th, this morning the Lord, in addition to all his other mercies, has given us a little girl, Lydia. September 21st, on account of the birth of our little one and Brother Craig's intended marriage, it is needful that we change our lodgings, as they will now be too small for us, because we shall want one room more. September 23rd, today an individual desired publicly to return thanks to the Lord for having been supported under the loss of a child, mother, brother, and wife in the cholera within 1 month. October 1st, a meeting for inquirers this afternoon from 2 to 5. Many more were convinced of sin through Brother Craig's preaching than my own. This circumstance led me to inquire into the reasons, which are probably these. Number one, that Brother Craig is more spiritually minded than I am. Number two, that he prays more earnestly for the conversion of sinners than I do. Number three, that he is more frequently addresses sinners as such in his public ministration than I do. This led me to more frequent and earnest prayer for the conversion of sinners and to address them more frequently as such. The latter had never been intentionally left undone, but it had not been so frequently brought to my mind as to that of Brother Craig. Since then, the cases in which it has pleased the Lord to use me as an instrument of conversion have been quite as many as those in which Brother Craig has been used. May the Lord be pleased to use this as a means to lead any of his servants who may not have acted according to these last 2 points to seek to do so, and may he graciously enable me to do so more abundantly. October 3rd, this day we set apart as a day of thanksgiving, the cholera having decreased. October 5th, prayer meeting this morning as usual. The cholera is very much decreasing. Hundreds of people were stirred up at that time, but many of them, when the judgment of God had passed away, care no longer about their souls. Yet a goodly number who were first led through the instrumentality of the cholera to seek the Lord are now breaking bread with us and are walking in the fear of the Lord. How merciful in its results has this heavy judgment been to many. 1833, invitation to labor in Baghdad. January 4th, this morning we received letters from Baghdad. The missionary brethren there invite Brother Craig and me to go and join them in their labors. The invitation was accompanied by drafts to the amount of £200 for our traveling expenses. What wilt thou have me to do, gracious Lord? I do not know what may be the Lord's mind. There are points which ought to be much considered and prayed over. There are German villages not very far from Baghdad, where I might labor upon our going, that of certain other individuals may depend. The brethren of Baghdad are of one mind respecting our going out. Good may be done on the way, the going out without any visible support from a society simply trusting the Lord to supply for temporal wants would be a testimony for him. I have had for years a feeling as if one day I should go out as a missionary to the brethren, to the heathen, or Mohammedans, and lastly, the hands of the brethren at Baghdad may be strengthened. These are the points which must appear of no sufficient weight in comparison with the importance of our work here, before I can determine not to go. January 5th, I considered with Brother Craig about going to Baghdad. We see nothing clearly. If the Lord will have me to go, here I am. January 9th, I again asked the Lord concerning Baghdad, but see nothing clearly respecting it. I told the Lord I should stay at my post unless he himself should most evidently take me away, and I did not feel afterwards my remaining here to be against his will. January 14th. I feel more and more satisfied that it is not of the Lord that I should go to Baghdad. January 19th. For some days past, I have been reading Brother Grove's journal of his residence at Baghdad, both for the sake of information respecting his position there, and also, if it please the Lord, that he may use this as a means to show me clearly whether I should go or stay. Blessed be his name that I have no desire of my own in this matter. February 9th, I read a part of Frankie's life. The Lord graciously helped me to follow him as far as he followed Christ. The greater part of the Lord's people whom we know in Bristol are poor, and if the Lord were to give us grace to live more as this dear man of God did, we might draw much more than we have as yet done out of our Heavenly Father's bank for our poor brothers and sisters. May 28th. This morning, while sitting in my room, the distress of several brethren and sisters was brought to my mind, and I said to myself, oh, that it might please the Lord to give me means to help them. About an hour afterwards, I received £60 from a brother whom I had never seen, and who then lived, as he does still, at a distance of several thousand miles. This shows how the Lord can provide in any way for his people, and that he is not confined to places. Oh, that my heart might overflow with gratitude to the Lord. May 29th, review of the last 12 months since we have been in Bristol, as regards the fruits of our labors. Number one, it has pleased the Lord to gather a church. through our instrumentality at the Southern, which increased to 60 in number, and there have been added to Gideon Church 49. Therefore, the total number of those added to us within the year has been 109. Number two, there have been converted through our instrumentality, so far as we have heard and can judge respecting the individuals, 65. Number three, many backsliders have been reclaimed, and many of the children of God have been encouraged and strengthened in the way of truth. What clear proofs that we are not suffered to be mistaken as regards the coming to Bristol. June 12th, I felt this morning that we might go something for the souls of those poor boys and girls and grown-up or aged people to whom we have daily given bread for some time past, and establishing a school for them, reading the scriptures to them, and speaking to them about the Lord. A remarkable conversion. December 17th, this evening, Brother Craig and I took tea with a family of whom five had been brought to the knowledge of the Lord through our instrumentality. When we took tea with them again, about a 12-month afterwards, the number had increased to seven. As an encouragement to brethren who may desire to preach the gospel in a language not their own, I would mention that the first member of this family who was converted came merely out of curiosity to hear my foreign accent, some words having been mentioned to her which I did not pronounce properly. Scarcely had she entered the chapel when she was led to see herself a sinner. Her intention had been to stay only a few minutes, but she felt as if bound to the seat while I was speaking, and remained to the close of the meeting. She then went hastily home instead of pursuing her pleasures, washed the paint off her face, stayed at home the Lord's Day, till the meeting began again, and from that day was truly converted. Having found the Lord, she entreated her brothers and sisters to go and hear the gospel preached, who, in doing so, were likewise converted. May my dear missionary brethren always be mindful that the Lord can bless a few broken sentences. December 31st, in looking over my journal, I find that at least 260 persons, according to the number of names we have marked down, but there have been many more, have come to converse with us about the concerns of their souls. Out of these, 153 have been added to us in fellowship these last 18 months, 60 of whom have been brought to the knowledge of the Lord through our instrumentality. Besides these 60, five have fallen asleep before they were received into communion. It is now just 4 years since I first began to trust in the Lord alone for the supply of my temporal wants. My little all I then had, at most worth 100 pounds a year, I gave up to the Lord, having then nothing left but about 5 pounds. The Lord greatly honored this little sacrifice and gave me in return not only as much as I had given up, but considerably more. 1834, January 1st, it seemed well to Brother Craig and me to have a special public meeting for thanksgiving to the Lord for his many mercies towards us since we have been in Bristol, and for the great success which it has pleased him to grant to our labors, and also for confession of our sinfulness and unworthiness, and to entreat him to continue his goodness towards us. Accordingly, we met last evening and continued together from 7 o'clock till 12:30. About 400 individuals or more met with us on the occasion. January 9th, Brother Craig and I have preached during these 18 months once a month at Bristlington, a village near Bristol, but have not seen any fruit of our labors there. This led me today very earnestly to pray to the Lord for the conversion of sinners in that place. I was also in the chapel, especially led to pray again about this, and ask the Lord in particular that he would be pleased to convert at least one soul this evening, that we might have a little encouragement. I preach with much help, and I hope there has been good done this evening. The Lord did according to my request. There was this evening a young man brought to the knowledge of the truth. January 14th, I was greatly tried by the difficulty of fixing upon a text from which to preach on the morning of October 20th, and at last preached without enjoyment. Today I heard of a ninth incident in which this very sermon has been blessed. May my brethren in the ministry of the word be encouraged by this to go quietly, yet prayerfully, forward in the work of the Lord. February 19th, Brother Craig preached this evening, and was unable to give out precious truths. Oh, that I did feed more upon them. For several weeks I have had very little real communion with the Lord. I long for it. I am cold. I have little love to the Lord, but I am not, yea, I cannot be satisfied with such a state of heart. all that once more I might be brought to the fervency of spirit, and that thus it might continue with me forever. I long to go home, that I may be with the Lord, and that I may love Him with all my heart. February 20th. By the mercy of God, I was today melted with tears on account of my state of heart. Oh, that it might please the Lord to bring me into a more spiritual state. February 21st. Through the help of the Lord, I am rather in a better state of heart than for some time past. I was led this morning to form a plan for establishing upon scriptural principles an institution for spreading of the gospel at home and abroad. I trust this matter is of God. This evening we had again, from 6 to 10:30, a meeting with inquiries. The work of the Lord is going on among us as much as ever. Oh, that our hearts might overflow with gratitude. Even after we were worn out to the utmost, we could not see all, but had to send away several individuals. February 25th. The inquirers were so many yesterday that though we conversed more than 4 hours with them, we had to appoint another meeting for today, and saw again several from 2 till 5. Scriptural Knowledge Institution founded. I was led again this day to pray about the forming of a new missionary institution, and felt still more confirmed that we should do so. The institution will be called the Scriptural Knowledge Institution for Home and Abroad. Number 1. The Principles of the Institution. Number 1. We consider every believer bound in one way or another to help the cause of Christ, and we have scriptural warrant for expecting the Lord's blessing upon our work of faith and labor of love. And although, according to Matthew 13, verses 24 through 43, 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 13, and many other passages, the world will not be converted before the coming of our Lord Jesus. Still, while He tarries, all scriptural means ought to be employed for the ingathering of the elect of God. Number 2. The Lord helping us, we do not mean to seek the patronage of the world. In example, we never intend to ask unconverted persons of rank or wealth to countenance this institution, because this we consider would be dishonorable to the Lord. In the name of our God, we shall set up our banners. Psalms 20, verse 5. He alone shall be our patron, and if He helps us, we shall prosper, and if He is not on our side, we shall not succeed. Number 3. We do not mean to ask unbelievers for money. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14 through 18. Though we do not feel ourselves warranted to refuse their contribution, if they on their own accord should offer them. Acts chapter 28, verse 2 through 10. Number 4. We reject altogether the help of unbelievers in managing or carrying on the affairs of the institution. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14 through 18. Number 5. We intend never to enlarge the field of labor by contracting debts. Romans 13, verse 8. And afterwards appealing to the Church of God for help, because this we consider to be opposed both to the letter and the spirit of the New Testament. But in secret prayer, God helping us, we shall carry the wants of the institution to the Lord and act according to the means that God shall give. Number 6. We do not mean to reckon the success of the institution by the amount of money given or the number of Bibles distributed, etc., but by the Lord's blessing upon the work. Zechariah 4, 6. And we expect this in proportion to which He shall help us to wait upon Him in prayer. Number 7. While we would avoid aiming after needless singularity, we desire to go on simply according to Scripture without compromising the truth, at the same time thankfully receiving any instruction which experienced believers after prayer upon scriptural ground may have to give us concerning the institution. Number 2. The objects of the institution. Number 1. To assist day schools, Sunday schools, and adult schools, in which instruction is given upon scriptural principles, and as far as the Lord may give the means and supply us with suitable teachers, and in other respects make our path plain to establish schools of this kind. A. By day schools upon scriptural principles, we understand day schools in which the teachers are godly persons, in which the way of salvation is scripturally pointed out, and in which no instruction is given opposed to the principles of the gospel. B. Sunday schools, in which all the teachers are believers, and in which the Holy Scriptures alone are the foundation of instructions, are such only as the institution will assist with the supply of Bibles, Testaments, etc. For we consider it unscriptural that any person who do not profess to know the Lord themselves should be allowed to give in religious instruction. C. The institution does not assist many adult schools with the supply of Bibles, Testaments, spelling books, etc., except where the teachers are believers. 2. To circulate the Holy Scriptures. We will sell Bibles and Testaments to poor persons at a reduced price. But while we, in general, think it better that the Scriptures should be sold and not given altogether gratis, and still, in cases of extreme poverty, we think it right to give without payment a cheap edition. 3. To aid missionary efforts. We desire to assist those missionaries whose proceedings appear to be the most according to the Scriptures. It is proposed to give such a portion of the amount of the donations to each of the aforementioned objects as the Lord may direct, but if none of the objects should claim a more particular assistance, to lay out an equal portion upon each, yet so that if any donor desires to give for any of the objects exclusively, the money shall be appropriated accordingly. Journal resumed. March 7th. Today we have only 1 shilling left. Many times also in Bristol our purse has been either empty or nearly so. Though we have not been brought quite so low as regards provisions, as was sometimes the case at Tynemouth. This evening, when we came home from our work, we found a brother, our tailor, waiting for us, who brought a new suit of clothes, both for Brother Craig and for me, which a brother, whose name was not to be mentioned, had ordered for us. March 10th. Sometime since, a brother who had been brought to the knowledge of the Lord through our instrumentality, having been previously guilty of habitual drunkenness and other open sins, requested with tears our prayers on behalf of his wife, who, like himself formerly, was still given to drinking, and who grew worse and worse. About 10 days after he had spoken to us, it pleased God to begin a work of grace in her heart, in answer to the many prayers of her husband, and this evening she was added to us in fellowship. There have come many instances before us, since we have been in Bristol, in which unbelieving partners have been given to believing ones in answer to their prayers, yea, even such as had threatened to murder their wives to leave them, if they still continued to go to our chapels. March 19th evening, when I got home after preaching at Bethesda, I heard the joyful news that my dear wife had been delivered at 8:20 of a little boy. April 14th, Brother and Sister Craig and ourselves have been living together hitherto, but now as the Lord has given to them one child and to us two, and there are but 6 rooms in our house, so that our late dear Brother Craig and I have had repeatedly to go to another house to be uninterrupted, we came at last to the conclusion that it would be better for our souls and the Lord's work that we should separate. April 15th, today I received from several sisters £25 towards furnishing a house. April 23rd, yesterday and today, I had asked the Lord to send us £20 that we might be able to procure a larger stock of Bibles and Testaments than our small funds of the Scriptural Knowledge Institution would allow us to purchase. And this evening a sister, unasked, promised to give us that sum, adding that she felt a particular pleasure in circulating the Holy Scriptures, as a simple reading of them had been the means of bringing her to the knowledge of the Lord. May 4th, today £15 more was given to me towards furnishing a house. Thus the Lord has now graciously supplied our need in this particular also. May 15th, today we moved into our house, having lived nearly 2 years with Brother and Sister Craig. June 4th, today a sister called on me, and I felt irritated at her staying, after having given her to understand that I had but a few minutes' time. I sinned thus against the Lord. Help thou me, blessed Jesus, in the future. June 25th, these last 3 days I have had very little real communion with God, and have therefore been very weak spiritually, and have several times felt irritability of temper. May God in mercy help me to have more secret prayer. June 26th, I was unable by the grace of God to rise early, and I have nearly 2 hours of prayer before breakfast. I feel now this morning more comfortable. May God in mercy help me to walk before Him this day and to do His work, and may He keep me from all evil. July 11th, I have prayed much about a master for a boys' school to be established in connection with a little institution. 8 have applied for the situation, but none seem to be suitable. Now at last the Lord has given us a brother who will commence the work. The Lord allowed us to call upon him many times before he answered, but at last he granted our request. August 18th, today Brother Craig and I engaged a sister to be governess of another girls' school which we intend to establish, in dependency upon the Lord for supplies. August 27th, I had prayed repeatedly and had read 10 chapters of the Word to get a text, but obtained none, and had to go this evening to the chapel without knowing in what portion of the Holy Word the Lord would have me to speak, At the commencement of the meeting, I was directed to Lamentations 3, verse 22 through 26, on which I spoke with much assistance and employment. October 28th, heard of a most affecting account of a poor little orphan boy who for some time attended one of our schools, and who seems there, as far as we can judge, to have been brought to a real concern about his soul through what I said concerning the torments of hell, and who some time ago was taken to the poorhouse some miles out of Bristol. He has expressed great sorrow that he can no longer attend our school and ministry. May this, if it be the Lord's will, lead me to do something also for the supply of the temporal wants of poor children, the pressure of which has occasioned this poor boy to be taken away from our school. November 1st, today, our means being completely gone, we had them supplied in the following manner. Sometimes, since some silver spoons were given to us, which we never used, from the consideration that for servants of Christ it was better, for the sake of example, to use cheaper ones, and for that reason we had sold our plate at Tenemouth. Yet up to this day, those spoons remained unsold. But now, as we wanted money, we disposed of them, considering that the kind giver would not be displeased at our doing so to supply our need. September 5th, I spent almost the whole of the day in prayer and reading the Word. I prayed also again for the supply of our temporal wants, but the Lord has not as yet appeared. November 8th, Saturday, the Lord has graciously again supplied our temporal wants during this week, though at the commencement of it we had but little left. I have prayed much this week for money, more than any other week, so far as I remember, since we have been in Bristol. The Lord has not answered our prayers by causing means to be sent in the way of a gift, but has supplied us through our selling what we did not need, or by our being paid what was owed to us. December 10th, today we found that a departed brother had left to both Brother Craig and me 12 pounds. December 31st, since Brother Craig and I have been laboring in Bristol, 227 brethren and sisters have been added to us in fellowship. Of these, 125 belong to Bethsaida Church and 132 to Gideon Church. The income the Lord has given me this year is 288 pounds, 8¼ dime. End of chapter 4, part 1. We're leaving off at the page 68, taking up on the year 1835, which we will pick up on the second part.